organ. The way that nature intended it. Don't panic.
Okay, everybody, hang on. Here we go. This is a song I just wrote late last night. I just gave it a name today. It's called Karma Cleaning. Yeah, it'll clean your karma clean. There's a certain frequency, you'll hear it coming up in a second. It's actually a Tibetan bow. There it is, see? That's a 732 megahertz. So what I do is I cleverly put the tune in there amongst the other stuff so that your body and your brain just listens to it without even knowing, oh my God, what is that? Isn't that cool? Yes, it is. So you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic with your host, Andy Lopez, better known as the Invisible Gardener. If you want to know who I am, if you don't know who I am, I'm sorry, I can't help you. Sorry. If you want to talk to me, today I'm talking about how to properly take care of your oak tree. It's an issue that seems to be more and more prevalent these days, and so I'm going to talk to you a little bit about it. I already wrote, that was my last week's columns. So what I do now is I write the column every week. The following week, I do the radio show on it. But not really the following week. I did the column, this week, because it's Saturday. So I did it, it got published on Wednesday. And so it's this week. So basically, I do the column on Wednesday. And then I do the show about it on Saturday. It posted on my blog on Friday. And pretty much everywhere else is being posted. Lots of different places that I write a column for. And then Saturday, I actually go over what the column was. So that then I post that back on my website so that you'll have not only the blog, the written part of it, but also the show version of it. So if you have a problem with oak tree or any other type of tree, I tell people, look, I don't do marital problems, but I have saved quite a few marriages because the good old boys wants to. They just want to solve the problem. You know, if they could do it organically, why not, right? If they can't, I'm going for the chemical stuff. I can't do it. One way or another, I'm going to get this here done. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that. But you can call me. There are several ways you can talk to me. I am going to have to blow my nose real fast. I can't eat bread, man. Even gluten-free bread. Oh, boy. Excuse me. That's pretty good. Now we have thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people listening to me blow my nose. That's what I always wanted to do, you know? I woke up this morning. Let's see, what am I going to do now? So there are a couple of different ways you can get a hold of me. Oh, there they are. I know that. I have this memorized. You know what I should do is I should get the engineer to say, and you can listen to it. That might be a good way to do it. Anyway, it's the 800 number is 888-627-6008. I don't have to say it's toll-free, but it's toll-free. Another way you can call it is call it direct. That means you're in the neighborhood, right? Like people like Deborah and I have, believe it or not, I have lots of people living in paradise. So I don't understand. I almost ended up living up there with my friend Tommy, who is now living in Thailand. He wants me to move over there to Thailand with him. He pays $200 a month for a house on 20 acres of land. Oh boy. Anyway, the toll-free number, by the way, is U.S. and Canada only. If you're outside the world, it's better, outside the world. If you're outside the United States and Canada, it's better to use Skype. Gets you around the world really easy. So this is what we do the show on Skype. And so you can use the Skype, you can call the Skype number at BBS Radio PR. That's the easy way to remember it, BBS Radio PR. The direct number line is 323-744-4841. You know, if it's important enough to you, I would pay the extra money to call and talk to somebody. I am a consultant at this. People pay me $250 an hour just to go and talk to them. And then they got to pay me to take care of it if I can take care of it. Because a lot of times, I'll explain it to you later in a little bit. Okay, so then you can also email me at andylopez@invisiblegardener.com. Now, emailing me about this show means I get to talk to you. When I get the email, I will answer it on the following show. So sometimes, we like to tell you when we're going to do a show, what the show is going to be on, so give you time to send me email. So that's why we post it on all my social network. We're going to be doing the show coming up. So if you're on Facebook, you should friend me, because then you'll get information about the show. If you're getting my newsletter, if you're not getting my newsletter, you should get the newsletter, because the newsletter tells you when what's going to be happening with the radio shows. I try to, at the beginning of every month, in the newsletter, tell you what each week the show is going to be on. Gives you plenty of time. Plus, you get the newsletter, goes out the day before the radio show is on. This is what we're going to be doing. You'll get that newsletter there. You can email me then. As soon as you get the newsletter, you can email me. I'll have your email right here, and I can talk to you on the show about it. Okay? Let's see. So I talked about, I mentioned the podcast. Podcast is one of the easiest ways you can get my shows. And also, you can find out what's going on with the contest. And I have five different podcasts, believe it or not. Okay, so I have this one here, which is called Don't Panic, It's Organic. It's the longest running one I've done. I've been doing this since 19. Well, the podcast only really started, I think, in 1999, doing podcast, something like that. But the radio show itself started in 1970 as a brick-and-mortar show. I would drive to the studios and pay a lot of money to do my show, Don't Panic, It's Organic, and people would call me driving around and at home. And I used to get all kinds of interesting callers from people. My favorite is I got a call from a policeman on a motorcycle. He wasn't on the motorcycle. He said he listens to my show with his helmet, and he had a question, so he pulled over and he talked to me. Another interesting one was I got a call from a captain of a submarine who had ant problems. And what do you do? Because they tried to spray the normal ant killer, and they had to surface and vent the ship out, because it was really throughout the ship. It was almost killed everybody. So the podcast, you can get it right from this station. You'll say podcast feed, click on it, take that address, pop it into your whatever device, whether it be iTunes or whatever you listen to, on your computer, on your iPod, on your iPhone. Lots of different ways to listen to it. You can also get it right off of my website, invisiblegardener.com. Click on radio show, and somewhere on that page you'll see how to subscribe to the podcast. If you're a member, here's something that's going on too. My members are subscribing to both the podcast and the members podcast. And no. You don't need to subscribe to the – if you're already subscribed to the free podcast and you become a member, you need to subscribe to the members podcast and unsubscribe from your free podcast. And the reason for that is the members podcast, they get all of my different shows in one podcast. Remember I said I have five shows. So I have this one. I have the members radio show. I have What's in Your Garden. So we talk, people call me up, what's going on in their garden. They tell me what they're growing, what they would like to grow, what problems they're having in their garden, how they're making it work. So that's called What's in Your Garden. I have another one called Audiobook. It's the Invisible Gardener Audiobook Series. So this book I have is number 22, and I'm going to be starting to read from it very soon. I go through the books. I'm working on Dances with Ants. Having the author read the book is kind of cool because I always get off track and I start talking about what's in it. So you get more personal information, lots of information in there too. And yes, you can always email me concerning questions. So I'll be doing that one. And then I have WTF, and it's not what the F, it's what the frack. If you ever watch Babylon, I think it's Babylon 5, they always say what the frack. So this is actually done by an alien. His name is Krail. Him and the good old boys I'm trying to get them to come back again. They were here last time, and man, they were really upset. You know, they like to go fishing, and you want to catch decent fish you can eat. And the computer says, warning, warning, do not eat, toxic, toxic. And they're going, what the frack? So those are the five shows. But as a member, you get them all in one pot. Include, oh, I always have one more, so maybe I have six shows, because I don't count the Inner Gardening Show as a show. It's just a podcast, and I do my music. So this song here that you're listening to, or you were listening to, this was called Karma Cleaning. I must do about five shows. I was going to say five shows a week, but that's like underestimating it, because I really do several shows a day. Here's another one. This is called Spaceship. I'm working on this one too. I'm not really finished with it yet. I have another one that it's called I Can't Hear. Oh yeah, see, you can hear it all right. This is called I Can't Hear. I'm still in the writing process with them. I'm not really nowhere near done yet. Okay. This one, it's called Stranger in a Strange Land. Like I said, I do about four songs every other day. I'm up to about 600 songs now, trying to break a record. Eventually, I think I'm going to slow down. I'll probably do at least one a week. I was going to say one a day. It depends upon. I think I'm starting to get computer cramping. My fingers are starting to say, don't touch that mouse. Okay, so I have a contest going on. I gave the name of the winner in the newsletter, and I think I may have announced it here. Her name is Jean N., and she's from Santa Barbara. She gets the, a lifetime membership to the club. I call it Club IG for Club Invisible Gardener. As a member, she gets access to all the members' free stuff. So she'll get all my 22 ebooks. She'll get access to the members' page, which will allow her to access a whole bunch of stuff. It's only for members, the members' forum, so members can leave a question and talk about it. We can talk about it. They can. They'll get all my books, and they'll have access to the organic hotline. She would also get the color version of my Don't Panic, It's Organic book. I have two versions of it. One's the color version, and one's the black and white version. These are both 8.5 by 11, same size, everything. The color version cost me $40 to do it. With these folks that I'm doing with, it's Amazon. They do creative. I think it's Creative Press, something like that. The name of it's called Creative Press, I think. Create Press. So you know, I've been doing with them for a long time. I do all my books. I put them on Kindle and so forth. But I said that's what it costs, the color version, because I have a color. I have my daughter-in-law do the artwork. Beautiful, beautiful. one a full page for each chapter. So there's about 40 of them up there, 20 of them. And the black and white version sells for $20 because it only costs me about $8 to print. So it sells for twice, usually twice as much as around $20. The color version is not available in the stores. I had it when I first did it. Amazon says, "Well, we have to distribute it." And I said, "Okay, fine." The next thing I know, somebody is selling it for $300 on eBay, or even on Amazon. I go up there and I type in, "Don't panic, it's organic." Well, the way I found out about it is because somebody, a bunch of people emailed me, says, "I'm not going to pay $300 for your book." One lady called me up. She says, "You're a ripoff selling your book for $300. Seriously?" And I'm going, "What do you mean?" So I look at it. Yeah. And then I called them up. These are third party vendors. They have a right to sell the book for whatever they think it's worth. I called the guy up. "Yeah, it's a great book. We're going to sell it for $300 because I think that's what it's worth." And he's probably right, but the artist has to become famous, and I have to become a lot more famous, right? Because it is signed. But anyway, so I took it off the market, but I can still print them and have them. So I have the color version of the book only available for me. And it's being sold on my website for $55. I don't have the heart to sell it for $100. Come on. So it cost me $40. I'll make $10 of it. I'm fine. $55. Maybe, because there's always all kinds of costs for shipping and so forth that I get. Plus, when you get it, you buy a 55 plus shipping. I think it's a $10 book rate. And that's on sale. Eventually, I'm going to sell it. I was told to sell it for $72.50. Okay, so, but right now, the winner gets that. So we have starting a whole new contest this month, and there's only one way that you can enter the contest. There's just one way. And here it is, okay? So the way you can enter the contest is you need to be getting the newsletter. In the newsletter, it'll say, "Click me to enter in the contest," or "Enter me in the contest." It's one way, only one way you can do it. Okay, and that would get you entered in the contest. The other thing about the newsletter, oh, look at that. The other thing about the newsletter is that it also says you can, there's an email button you can, if you click on it, it'll say, "Hi, I listen to the radio show and I read your newsletter, and I would like my free ebook." And I'll send you the free copy, free version of the Don't Panic, It's Organic in an ebook version. Okay, you'll get that immediately back in the email, because when you send me email, it's already filled the form, the subject is filled already, and I know automatically what's going to happen. When you get to the contest, when you enter the contest, what I'm going to do also is I also send you a copy. Free copy of the ebook. I'm going to write it down because a lot of times I say things. People say, "You said you will give me a free copy of the book." I said, "No, I never meant that." So I'm going to I'm going to write it down right here. Right. So I got the first part about you'll get the book if you email me from the newsletter. It'll say email me. Email. You'll read it. It says this is how you get the ebook for free. When you enter the contest, all you have to say is, "Please send me, you said you would send me your ebook for free, Don't Panic, It's Organic ebook for free, and I will send it to you." Okay? If you don't say that, I probably won't send it to you because I have different things going on with different stations and different, they're all different kinds of offers. So you need to say on the enter me in the contest, please send me the ebook free. If you're not getting the newsletter, you need to go to the website and click on receive my newsletter. So you'll get the newsletter. That's the only way you can enter the contest. Okay, so next week we have Robert from Soil Solutions is back. Yeah, such a good time. He's going to do it again. And he'll be here next week, and we're going to talk some more about the native grasses that he has and what benefits they are to us in our current situation that we're in here, and not only in Southern California, but people need to know how to use, better conserve their water, their soil, right? So he'll be coming on next week. After that, I don't have any guests scheduled for this month. Doesn't mean they're not going to be showing up. I've been really, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. Mainly we're working on the, one of the things I'm doing is working on the website. Go take a look at it. You won't believe it. A few things need to happen. I'm working on there. The book is in the process of starting to take off slowly. I like to give away as much of the ebook as I can. Only thing I ask is when you get the ebook, you should know that you read it, but you should go to the website and do a book review on it for sure, right? But I'm working on the book, so there's lots of stuff I have to do with the book to get the book out. If you have a bookstore where you guys live and you think they would like my book, you can go there and send me a business card, and I'll send them the book. Okay? Ideally, the best way for me is you go there and you order the book from the store, because if you like the ebook, you may want to get the print version of it. You won't get the color print version of it, but doing the show here, sweetie. Okay, so if you go to the store and just you can ask for "Don't Panic, It's Organic" by Andy Lopez, the Invisible Gardener, and you'll get the book. You'll get the book because it's available in any of the methods to buy the book. You can also always get it out from my website, of course. Okay, so then today I'm going to talk to you about how to properly care for your oak trees. Okay, let me give you an example of what's going on now. It's not an oak. Well, yeah, okay. Because there are so many different real life instances. I was just trying to figure out one of the best ones that I can explain to you what's going on a certain level. So I have two different customers, each have a different tree problem. Okay, different tree problem. Okay, one has a oak trees. These are established oak trees. They're over maybe 100 years old. The other one has an established stone pine tree, has a giant palm tree, so newly planted. It's a pinyon pine. It has three other oak, California oaks, and a couple other different kinds of junipers. Also, let's see, what is that called? Ficus. Okay. The oak person has four oaks, four giant massive oaks, aside from a variety of other trees, pine trees, things like that. Okay, so what's going on with both of these, and one person with the oak, one of the oak has a disease. It's called phytophthora. I'm having a little problem with my teeth because I'm still in the process of going to the dentist, doing all kinds of things. And another part of my tooth just came off, so now I'm even more toothless. And to say phytophthora, you have to have the teeth to be able to form the phytophthora, okay? The other lady doesn't have any problems yet, but her problem is completely different. There's a bunch of construction going on, and I'm going to tell you what's going on with them. But the lady with the oak tree that has the phytophthora, and the other three are okay so far, her main problem is really her gardener, and her gardener overwaters. Okay. So the problem that, and then over here on the stone pine, the lady with the three oaks and stuff, I'm actually doing the gardening for her. And so her gardening is not being overwatered, right? It's not being overwatered. It's being taken care of organically and everything. With the lady with the oaks, somebody else is doing the gardening, but I do take care of it myself organically. I go there and do the nutrition on it in the spring, things that to keep them happy. So the lady with the construction part, she has a different problem. And that's because of the construction, which is impacting the trees in a different way. but it's still stress. One of the things that both of these have in common, stress. This one oak that's getting too much water is stressed out. And these other plants are also stressed on the other side that are getting this, the stone pine and the three oaks and so forth. They're getting stressed out from the construction. So one of the things that I tell people that, you know, is that the first thing you got to do is stop overwatering your trees. Okay. Now, you know, yes, they need water, but, you know, too much of a good thing is bad, right? So over the years, trees have developed specifically in accordance with where they live, right? With what type of environment they have. Oak trees, for example, there are over 600 species of oak trees. And it depends where in the world you live, right? The different types of species that they're available. Oaks like it a Mediterranean climate. Same with these pine trees, the junipers, right? And the California oaks. Now, what is a Mediterranean climate? That means it has dry summers and wet winters. Dry summers is dry summers. That means nothing's getting watered during those dry summers, right? You know, but, and then there are oak trees, of course, and other plants that love a tropical rainforest environment, gets rained regularly. You adapt, each one adapts and according to where they're grown. But one of the main characteristics they have with the soil is that the soil is well drained. They don't sit in water. So if in the subtropical environment, like in Florida and places like that where it rains a lot, and Puerto Rico and all those places, drains right down and it's dry. You know, it doesn't sit in water. It like filters it out. Here in California, some places it doesn't really drain very well. The soil is not really soil. It's clay soil and it doesn't drain down. So plus what happens is that people are watering on a regular basis. Lots of these trees are getting watered as if people think that by watering the lawn, because I noticed that, for example, not these instances here, because the oak trees are up around the house, not on the lawn, but I have been called to visit some people, do a house call, and sure enough, their oak, one lady I said, what's wrong with my oak tree? I have beautiful lawn. Lawn's beautiful. Because she waters the lawn every day for about 5, 10, 15 minutes. The gardeners fertilize it on a regular basis with the weed and feed. Now, what's wrong with that picture? See? And the oaks are getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And the reason why they did well in the beginning is because she actually has some soil, and the temperatures were never so hot. Here in Malibu, we had more temperate? The temperatures never got to in the 90s, maybe. 91, 92. Last year was 100. Some places 114. And in this other place where the oaks are at, it went up to 104 degrees. So what happens when the temperatures get like that is that unless you have your soil, the system is being, unless you're taking care of your soil and the property, everything will start to dry out. One of the problems we have here in California is that the farmers have been draining all the subsurface irrigation, all the subsurface water. So there's less water below ground than ever before. The trees will have ways to, with the roots to seek the water out, whether it be rivers or whatever. And then we've also dammed a lot of rivers and a lot of the way the water would normally flow. So what happens is, like here in California, you have this watering of clay soil on a regular basis. Not enough, because if they watered enough, the water will run downhill because it ain't going to drain down. Grass only has a very shallow root system, so not even a foot, maybe 2 feet, if you have some good soil. Excuse me, but hearing. What is that? Is that you? Jeebers. I love it when I tell them it's a radio show and they just seem to forget, you know, because I do it at my home and You should see it when there are all a bunch of people around. And they will come here knowing I do a radio show just to harass me, because they're not doing what I am. Anyway, so what happens is that in California, you have this clay soil, not real topsoil. A lot of places when you build their homes and stuff like that, fancy homes, they're not bringing in good soil. They just bring in construction sands, put your house there, bring in some soil so you can plant stuff in it, and that's it. You can dig down a couple of feet and you run into the construction sand. So they don't have any soil. On top of that, they're not adding soil on a regular basis. But that's one of the things you need to do. You need to constantly, I tell people, rock dust, compost, and mulch. So what happens is that when you have, what do you think happens when you have, add water to clay, mash it up, and then heat it up? You get porcelain. That's what hard pan is called. So as the temperatures get hotter, gardeners water more to keep things alive. So it's true, if you water on a regular basis, that soil will not harden up, but it won't drain down. So a certain area on top will be soft enough for the root systems to work through, but down below it, it'd be less and less and harder, and the roots down there will die, which is where the roots of the trees are at. A lot of the trees have these feeder roots, which are on the surface of the tree. They're approximately maybe within the top 2 feet of the soil. You'll have a branching root system that spreads out 10 to 20 feet past the drip line or more. And if it's a good, healthy soil environment, it's like in a forest, you have a massive web of root systems. And so so people are watering their lawns and not taking care of the trees. And on top of that, the trees, the root systems are not getting the water they need. They're getting too much water because the water destroys the microbiological balance of the soil. Because I talk a lot about the soil. As an arborist, I keyed into the soil immediately. Trees are plugged into the soil. Let's do something to make sure the soil is functioning. What does the soil do? It doesn't just hold it there, right? So with this person who has one of the oak trees has five chopper, and the other three will get it too if the gardeners continue to do what they were doing to it, which is basically they would remove the oak leaves away, clean it up, plant something underneath the tree. What's one advantage with these other three oak trees? There's nothing planted under there. There's one oak tree, they have things planted, so the gardeners are watering all the time. They have a drip system underneath there with 30, 40 drip heads. It's a lot of water that oak gets. When I go there and the oak starts to bleed, because that's what happens, it starts to bleed, it gets stressed out. I immediately know that it's getting too much water. Plus, you can see that the plants are growing like crazy. They're getting lots of water. And I'm not even sure. I'm hoping they're not fertilizing it, because I'm telling them not to do that, but they tend to do that behind my back anyway. Who are you to tell me not to fertilize? So if you use a chemical fertilizer with high nitrogen fertilizer, wham, you're causing a combination of problems that the oak trees will not survive, and they'll get the phytophthora. And once they get the phytophthora, you cannot remove it from them. Remember, diseases, all plant diseases start in the soil. Doesn't mean that all diseases are right there in that soil. Again, it depends where you're at in the world, what type of diseases are prevalent in that soil. So over here we have this phytophthora. It's just in the soil. A variety of different diseases are in the soil around here because the soil does not have adequate microbiological activity to control it, to stop it. In a forest, you're not going to have that problem because it's rich in mycelium, rich in all the microbiological activity that's needed. See, the microbes, they do a bunch of different things. They not only provide nutrition to the tree, they also defend the tree from other microorganisms which are bad, from the bad guys, from diseases, from funguses that are in the soil. So you have this battle between the good guys and the bad guys, and if you do it right, the good guys will win. If the bad guys win, your trees and everything growing in there will have a problem because it will not get the nutrition that it needs. The bad guy's job is not to provide you nutrition. The bad guy's job is to take nutrition for them. That's how they do. They attack you because if the plant becomes food for them, then there's a reason why it's edible. So it's like with a bug. A bug goes after the tree. There's a reason why that tree is now edible. When it's healthy, it wasn't. That's nature's way. It's nature's way. It's nature's way. See what I'm saying? Before I go any more, I want to mention again that the call number to call in if you want to talk to me is 888-627-6008. You can also Skype me at BBS Radio PR. And then if you have a question about trees. So I talk a lot about the mycelium in the soil, and that's one of the jobs that mycelium does. It breaks down minerals into a compound that's available to the plants or the trees. Mineral deficiency is the number one problem that trees and animals and plants and humans have that causes diseases and pests. When, like I say, when your tree is food for the bugs and diseases, there's something wrong. Okay, see what I'm saying? If it's healthy, you ain't gonna get it. And I have explained to that before as to why. And I think I did that recently when I did the show on bricks and the refractometer on measuring the bricks level of plants. And that's just a device to show you to verify if the tree is having a problem or not. Because if it has a low brick level, it's having a problem. High brick level is not having a problem, right? So part of the key to the care of the trees, of the oak trees specifically, because each trees are really different, is that a healthy, no, not a healthy, I would say a mature oak does not need to be watered more than once a month, if that. Again, it depends upon the condition that the soil is in. Remember, in a normal environment without humans, these oaks would not get any water at all during the dry months, which could go 6 months easily, right? And then you have a wet winter, you have a wet fall and a wet winter, which some places water a lot, but they drain right out. What that does is that refills the reservoirs for these, because it's not like they're not getting any water. They're tapping into below ground water in the right places for them to get the water. They store water. So there are a lot of ways that they have this water available to them other than in the soil. If the soil stays wet and you have the temperature starts to go up, that's what happens during the summertime, spring and summertime, diseases will start to take off because that's what they need. They need moisture and they need heat. And they need it for the bad guys not to be there. And the water will destroy the good guys. And they need it for the good guys not to be there. So the bad guys need the good guys not to be there. And what destroys the good guys is the water. One of the things that destroys the good guys is water. So especially if you have city water with all the stuff in it to kill the bacteria. Duh. Right? Toxins will kill the mycelium and the good guys. Any form of toxins, including fertilizers, chemical fertilizers, will kill the natural microbiological activity in the soil. Okay? There's other types of toxins which humans are very good at spreading around. Okay, there's toxins in the air. There's toxins everywhere, and that rhymes. That's constantly killing the natural biology of the soil. That's why it's very important never, never, ever to fertilize your oak trees anything other than a good organic fertilizer. And if you did it right, you don't even need to give them a good organic fertilizer because ideally, all you have to do is provide for a healthy living soil. And what you have to provide for the healthy living soil is a source, it's a constant source of the microbes and a constant source of the minerals. Because the soil is constantly being attacked by a variety of things from the water. How many of you folks filter out your water? Do you have a whole house water filtration system? I only know a few people that can spend $10,000 to have the whole property filtered, water filtered out. So you have to use the soil and the plants and trees as a filter. So you have to constantly be, that's one reason why we make compost. You think we make compost because we're being good folks and we want to recycle? That's just one of the benefits. The reason why we make compost is we want to keep our soil alive. We want to imitate. We realize that Mother Nature needs our help because she is not doing the work that she know the way she normally does it. Think about it. Even a few hundred years ago, not even that, maybe 50 years ago, right? Okay, 100 years ago, animals were roving everywhere. Certainly 1,000 years ago, certainly 100 years, 1,000 years ago, certainly, right? Animals were roaming everywhere. You had millions and trillions of birds. You had all kinds of animals from dinosaurs to whatever, all over the place, roaming all up and down. There wasn't a fence anywhere. And what do you think they did? They ate and pooped and died. Ate, pooped, and died. So they ate, they recycled. They took stuff that they ate, and when they went through their system, they had bacteria and microbes in their body that ingested and did the thing. They got their minerals, but a lot of it went right back out to poop, and the poop also had the same bacteria that the animals had. And that bacteria in the poop went right into the soil, which replenished the microbiology of the soil, see? And when they died, well, their bones, their blood, everything went right back into that blend of the soil to replenish it. So when was the last time that happened in your backyard or your front yard, right? So we are taking the steps to make compost to duplicate that. We don't really take animals and bury them in our compost pile. We realize that the animals have blood, which is certain things that, you know, the nitrogen and the microbe, the bones have certain things in it. It all goes down to the minerals. That's why it breaks down, the calcium and the iron and everything in your body is one mineral or another. So we have learned to take, and we also learn what microbes are necessary. So that's why when you make compost, you're not really making compost if you don't have any type of animal manure in your compost. It's one thing I tell people, you know, when you're making compost, when your soil is rotting, which is making rotted soil. If people call me up regularly, I have rats in my compost. Well, you're not really making compost. Do you use manure? No, I hate that stuff. Okay, then you're not making compost. You have to have the manure to add the microbe to the compost process for the compost to be able to cook and do its thing. You don't have that, it'll still rot and it'll still decompose, but it's not compost. And it's not an available form that the soil can use. See? So I tell people, one of the things, and you're not making compost if you don't add rock dust to it. Where do you think the minerals are going to come from? I had one person that said she went to a soil web workshop. That's good, soil web workshop. She asked a question about rock dust, and they said, you don't have to add rock dust. There's already plenty of trace minerals in the soil. Well, somebody didn't tell her about this thing called soil depletion, which if you take it out, you got to put it back in again. You can't tell me that the minerals are in there forever, that you have plenty of unlimited sources of minerals, because that doesn't work that way. Remember, Mother Nature was constantly replenishing. The one reason why we have an ice age. One of the benefits of the ice age is that the glaciers go up and down the countryside and crush this dust, crush everything down to a powder, and then when it goes back, you have the rock dust. Or Mount St. Helens, when it blew up and it threw all that dust away. What do you think that was? So Mother Nature is constantly replenishing the soil if we let her. In a lot of places, we don't. Like, what do you think is going on over in Hawaii? All that dust and everything is a form of rock dust. It's also minerals, highly mineralized. Lava is highly mineralized. Once it dries out, you can take that lava, crush it up, and use it. So we have... So you make compost to get the bacteria and their minerals together. If you do it right, and then you put that in your soil, the soil will continue to do the process and bring the minerals and the bacteria and everything. The mycelium will be happy, and then the trees and the plants will get the minerals, and they will be healthy. And us in turn will get it because when you eat animals, they're eating the plants. It's a chain of life. That's how you. It's very difficult for me to chew on rock dust, but I can chew on other things that have the minerals in them. So it's important to take care of the soil. You have to be able to. Otherwise, the trees will start getting a problem. They get stressed out, and once they get stressed out, There's nothing you can really do about stress. You can't show them, oak tree music to relax them and tell them to meditate. And concerning stress, the solution is simple, but the gardeners are the hardest person to deal with. And also in this case with the oak trees, the owners want to have plants under there. And I said, what do you want, the trees or the plants? He's still thinking about it. I think he said he wants both. I love it when they want both. And then because it's already bleeding and pretty, I tested it. It doesn't have the Phytophthora. It's in the soil, but it doesn't have it in the tree yet. And once it starts bleeding, that's an opening for the Phytophthora to come in and attack it. Concerning this other folks with the stone pine and the ficus and so forth, construction is digging a trench. And it's bad enough that the root systems are getting damaged, but what's happening is they're piling up the soil all along the trench line, right? And they're piling it up right up against the trunks or right on the root systems of these trees. That's causing stress. And that's going to damage the root systems more. It's going to stress out the trees. As soon as the reason why I have this lady is because this pine trees had bark beetle. And I was lucky. She was lucky enough to got me at the right time because I got it just when they were starting. There were a couple of ones I couldn't save, but I managed to save the stone pine, the three oaks, and three pines. Two pines, once they started, I couldn't save them. But with this kind of stress, and it doesn't have to go for long, I told her 2 weeks, a month tops. If this doesn't get fixed within a month, these trees are going to go so stressed out, they will be attacked by one bug or another, by one disease or another. They will get attacked. And then once that happens, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to control. Okay? Very difficult, if not impossible, to control. So, and I have been called plenty of times to people who do construction, right? And they say, what's wrong with my tree? And I go, well, you shouldn't be piling stuff up underneath it like that. Because then it's too late to control. Right? And once they get it, they get the bark beetle. You can't remove it because that's the stress. And once the tree is stressed out, it takes a while to get it unstressed. In the interim, the bug is attacking it and making it worse, which, of course, increases the stress. Right? Okay, so I have a few more minutes left on the show. So the key is to provide. So if you was to do make the best compost you made, right, and make sure that compost had mycelium in it, had the microbes in it. And one of the reasons why I tell people organic fertilizers are good is because nowadays they come with mycelium and variety of microbes, beneficial microbes that they add to it. And so that's good. So that would be the only thing I would suggest for the trees that you can feed them. But if you're making your compost and you're making it rich with a variety of rock dust, a variety of microbes, make your compost as healthy as possible. Learn to mulch properly with it. I tell people use a Azalea gardenia mulch as an acid mulch. You won't have to fertilize it at all. And you'll find that the tree will be just happy the way it is without giving it anything at all. You control the water, control your gardener. If you do have to fertilize it, because some things require some fertilization, usually what happens is that they get the nitrogen from the air or the nitrogen from the animals die. Even the manure has nitrogen in it. PP has nitrogen in it. So certain things, plants do need nitrogen, since nobody's doing that for them. Naturally, you need to provide it for them in a form that they can handle. High nitrogen is very bad, one of the worst things for plants. High nitrogen inhibits the absorption of trace minerals. Gee whiz. next week we have Robert from Soil Solutions. We talk a little bit about the soil, right? That would be it for today. I was going to say something else, and I've almost spaced it out. This is my website, invisiblegardener.com. Check it out. I have a blog up there. Tons and tons of information up there. I do artwork. You'll find it up there. And I do my music. You'll find it there. That's where you also you get a hold of my 20-something ebooks that is available to you. I have Dances with Ants. I have a book on the roses. I have a rock dust book. I also sell rock dust. It's 5 pounds. It's called Invisible Gardener's Rock Dust Blend. It's a blend of maybe 10 different types of rock dust. I'm going to be doing a rock dust show coming up soon, which I'll be talking about all the different types of rock dust that I have, and hopefully I'll have a couple of different rock dust companies on. I'm not so sure if we have them on the same time. Maybe you have different one, you know, different rock dust company every month or every other month or something like that. It won't do any good if you have 4 rock dust companies on. They're all each going to want to talk about their product, and you're not going to have enough time to. Maybe they can talk about one item on their product, you know. But my rock dust, it's a rock dust blend. It's a blend of not only pelletized, which is really cool to work with, but also powder form, because a lot of stuff doesn't get pelletized. And I also add a wide sources. I have endo and ecto mycorrhiza to it. I add a variety of others of microbiological sources. They're easy enough to buy. They're available. Lots of different ways to get the microbes these days. You can also use the biodynamic methods, and the biodynamic store will sell you a variety of products too. So it's called Invisible Gardener's Rock Dust Blend. I also have a grower's kit, which is a combination of the rock dust blend and a quart of my super seaweed. I invented a product called Super Seaweed in the 6th grade, which is what I used to spray my customers' properties with, and that's what I do now. Super Seaweed is a microbiological activator. So when I go to a person's property, I spray it and inject it into soil. You do it often enough, and then you start getting little mushrooms start popping out. The mycelium things start to grow. Biggest problem is the gardener. that's $100 for the rock dust, the grower's kit. The grower's kit is a really good deal because the quart of Super Seaweed by itself is only it's $150. That's on sale also too. But I think it's $60. So the grower's kit is a good deal because you get $50 of rock dust, and you get $150 of the super seaweed. So instead of $200, it's $100, a half price. I have my latest book, Don't Panic, It's Organic, up there. I have the color version and the black and white version. You're welcome to buy them from me. I prefer if you order them online or go to your local bookstore. The reason for that should be obvious, because that way it gets it through their system. You buy it once, maybe they'll get it on their bookshelf, right? Tell your friends about it. When you buy the book, say, hey, I got this great book, and help, you know, tell them where they can get it from. You can, of course, get it from me. It's not a problem. It's also available on Kindle. It's a really cool system. You can do it. The ebook version, I sell it up there for $10, but you don't have to buy it for $10. If you're getting my newsletter, click on email. Email me my free ebook. I'll send it to you, right? You have to sign up to subscribe. You have to subscribe to the newsletter. So you go to my website, invisiblegardener.com. People have called me up and they said, I got you off the phone book because I can't find you on the internet. And that's because they spell either invisible or gardener wrong. And it's not invasible or invincible. I shouldn't have said that, because once I say that, they keep doing it over. It's invisible, like invisible man. And gardener, well, I'm not James Gardner. It's like the gardener that you hire, GARDENER. So it's invisiblegardener.com. Shouldn't have a hard time finding it. If you do Google, you'll see there's lots of stuff about Invisible Gardener up there. So thank you very much. I'm going to see if I can just play you a song. Let's see, which one should I work on here? Oh. So let's try this one. I haven't really heard it in about 2 days. So thank you very much for listening to my show. Come back next week, and we got more. Bye. Let him play the music, the song, Mr. Engineer. Don't cut it off yet. I know you like doing that. Just hang in there. Of course, if you got to go at 2, you can do that. You got 4 minutes. I didn't mention that this song is about 11 minutes long, so whenever you get tired, Mr. Engineer, feel free to do it to it, right?
Thank you for listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. See you next Saturday.